Welcome to Rediscovering You, the podcast that helps you reconnect with who you truly are so that you can live, work, and show up in alignment with your most authentic self. I'm your host, Laura Flowers. I'm a school psychologist, certified life coach, Reiki master, and someone who's actively walking the path of personal transformation just like you. This podcast is a space for growth, healing, and honest reflection. Through solo episodes, guest conversations, energy insights, and real life stories, we'll explore what it means to step out of survival mode and into a life that actually feels good, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and professionally. Whether you're navigating burnout, craving clarity, or feeling like you've outgrown parts of your current life, Rediscovering You offers supportive tools, soulful insights, and practical tips to help you realign with your truth. Because rediscovery isn't a destination, it's a returning. Are you ready to rewrite your story? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to Rediscovering You, episode 72. I am so excited today because we have a very special guest. Her name is Melissa Spratt. Melissa Spratt is a certified self-love coach, author, and conscious mama who helps women shift from carrying it all to creating it all. Through her powerful work, she guides women out of people-pleasing, perfectionism, self-sabotage, and scarcity into living from their authentic self, gifts, power, and joy. Melissa, I am so happy to have you here on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you. I am so honored to be in this space with you. I feel such alignment with you, and you are a beautiful expander.
Oh, thank you so much for those kind words. And I feel the same, very much in alignment with the work that you're doing. So this is going to be such a fun conversation that we have, and I can't wait to dive into it. But before we step into the amazing work that you are currently doing and the light that you are currently sharing, I'd love for the listeners to learn a little bit about your history, your past, and some of the pivotal experiences that you might have had in your life that inspired you or guided you to where you are right now.
Yes. Well, if you ask me, what do I want to be when I grow up? And I would say certified self-love coach, I wouldn't have known that. I was truly led to becoming a self-love coach through my many lived experiences and the journey. And as you know, and many of your listeners know, it really stems, our journeys stem back to childhood. And I was someone that was highly sensitive and felt a lot of anxiety. And I think that anxiety and my big emotions, back, especially in the 90s, it wasn't quite understood. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I felt like I couldn't express that or be heard or seen. And I think that plays out as one of my wounds that I better understand now. And as I grew up and I developed into a pre-adolescent and adolescent, what transpired is really that made me want to feel small, but I wanted to feel safe and in control. And I started to really develop low self-esteem, low self-worth. Mm-hmm. And I ended up developing an eating disorder because I thought it made me feel special. It made me kind of stay small and control and safe. And it became my identity along with anxiety. And this was for a long part of my journey into my 20s, even 30s. Now, through this time, I did seek, you know, multiple treatments and I got help. And it was a very non-linear healing journey. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until about 30, mm-hmm, when I had a miscarriage, that I had more of what I would call a spiritual awakening. And then I realized I still wasn't fully healed in mind, body, and spirit. Mm-hmm. And I will say during all of my healing, in the first part, I developed coping skills, which were writing. And I believe that led me to journaling and poetry. And then when I had my miscarriage, I connected much more with meditation. And I set up a health team of multiple modalities, and they really helped me heal in another way, in another wave. And later, then I did conceive my rainbow baby, Violet. She is 5. And of course, this happened right. She was born right in the height of the pandemic, May 2020.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And we all have our lived experience with that. But when you go back to what I was saying in childhood, right, that anxiety and highly sensitive personality, it really came out. And, we felt very isolated, alone. And I was very overstimulated, overwhelmed, and continued to seek help. And then I really found self-care. And I wasn't really focusing on taking care of myself during that time, like I think many mothers will say. And I started to explore ways that did work for me. And it might have meant just moving my body for 10 minutes that day, or taking a walk, or just a shower. And then I really got into, at that time, self-care, and I found myself looking at buying self-love workbooks. And I started doing a lot more work on my own there. And the concepts of self-love really started becoming very present to me, and I started understanding it more. Also, that spiritual awakening and healing journey, and developing some of those writing skills, and having my daughter, it inspired me to publish a poetry collection, which took a lot of courage, hand in hand with fear. And once I did that, and then I started developing a community and doing the self-love work, somehow this all just kept leading me to self-love, healing, self-love. And then I found myself thinking about a couple years ago, and self-love coach. I'm gonna type in Google a search, and well, how can I become a certified self-love coach? I sat on that for probably a year until I finally decided to do it, because I started building the skills of listening to my intuition through the self-love work that I had been doing. So somehow self-love made its way into my life time and time again, and that's how I became a self-love coach. And these are the lived experiences that led me here.
Thank you so much for sharing so much of your story just now. A lot of what you shared is just so incredibly raw, and I know I can connect and resonate with a lot of what you shared, and I know our listeners right now are going to hear themselves and see themselves in some of the struggles that you've went through, and it takes a lot of courage to be able to speak about it authentically. So I thank you so much for doing that. And it's so interesting to me because I do believe that we become and we learn to teach what we need ourselves. And that self-love and thinking back to like the start of your journey as a child who struggled with anxiety and body image issues and eating disorder. I mean, I wonder like what would self-love have done for you as your younger self back when you needed it then?
Yes, and now that I'm a mama, this is where the conscious part really comes in, because I look at self-love and try to reparent myself so that I can parent her better. And a lot of the time, and as I learn more about anxiety being more of a friend and a protective part,
I love that.
yes, and I've been doing parts work, which also subsequently has been serving my clients. So, as I understand this now more, I wish I understood it then, and really what I needed was self-compassion, self-acceptance, and to be heard and seen and loved. A lot of times that's what it comes back to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And I imagine that your daughter right now is just oh so lucky to have you as her mama and guide in life to be able to help her cultivate from the beginning the importance and the beauty of self-love. So what a gift for your daughter.
Thank you.
Of course, of course. And I think that starting in childhood is so valuable. And to that end, I know that you are an author, and one of the books that you felt guided to write was a children's book. Would you mind sharing a bit about your book?
Yes, I am very excited. It is a work in progress. And after I did the poetry collection, I would say within that year after publishing, I started coming up with concepts. And I wanted to do a book connected to self-love and body love because it was inspired by my younger self, my experiences. And although I don't have the statistic at hand, we do know that the majority of mental illness stems back to youth. So it is very important, as we just talked about, to be able to establish self-love very early in life and that and positive body image. So I've went through many iterations of this book, and it was much harder to write than my poetry collection. And it ended up centering on a girl named Rose and her friends. It's their annual summer beach day, and Rose notices she's getting a little older, her body's changing, she doesn't fit in the bathing suit like she did yet last year. And it starts a dialogue with her mom, and this dialogue goes back and forth with her mom through her day as she goes to the beach, comes back home, and it focuses very much on body neutrality and acceptance. So throughout the book, seeing, oh, how strong and capable my body is, what it does for me, while also looking at body positivity, how beautiful I am, how I'm unique, but also how my friends are as well. And so it's a story, of course, it has poetic rhyme to it. It had to flow in a way. And right now I am working with my illustrator, who also illustrated all 87 poems in my first book, Alina Russo. I love her. And we just really, the way we work together, we just vibe. So it will be a similar style to my poetry collection. And I'm enjoying that process. And this is where I want to talk about the journey and creativity. I really enjoyed doing the illustrations, going back and forth with ideas and creating it. And especially as a mom who has a day job, my self-love business, and these other creative projects, I want to take my time, and time is very limited, so I have to intentionally create space. So right now I am in the phase of working together on these illustrations and enjoying that creative part before getting to the bio and all and the ISBN and all the other book details. And I really, as a target, I would love to say I would publish it next year, but I'm not putting that pressure on myself for this book. And creativity is something that I learned. At first, I thought I am not creative at all. I can't draw. And then I realized through all these experiences, we have gifts and we are all creative beings, and that comes up and shows up in different ways. And that's also a part of what I like to teach and how we can go after these dreams. I had a lot of imposter syndrome when I came out as a poet, worked on that now, and saying, even saying I'm an author. So I continue to work through the self-doubt, the imposter syndrome, and that we can really share our beautiful gifts with the world.
Thank you so much for just being, again, so authentic and putting it out there that you're not putting the pressure of having like a published date and like the end product at your forefront. It's just you are embodying the process of being creative, the process of writing, the joy that it brings you, the self-care that it's doing for you is so valuable and so important. And I think that this is a lesson for anybody really, because I like when we have a goal in mind, it's so like we just think about the end game and the end product and like think, okay, well,
it doesn't matter until I get to that point, but that's not true. It's like everything that you pour into it and the experiences that you have of creating and co-creating with your illustrator and doing this, it's all so beautiful. And you're actually embodying what you're teaching others is to be creative and enjoy the process and to that act is it is self-love, and to keep going back to this self-love that you're cultivating in yourself so that you can be the best guide for the women and the people that you work with. That's so beautiful.
Yes, and beautifully said. And because when we, for example, put a book out and then it's like, oh, and what's next? No, let's enjoy this. And just like self-love, finding daily joy, self-love is a journey, it's not a destination. And so, really focusing on this journey piece.
Yes, and because self-love looks different at every single phase of your life. And you and I are at a certain age right now, and 10 years from now, self-love is going to look very different for us possibly than it looks for us right now. And that's part of the fun of the journey, is like coming back to and rediscovering who we are, what we need, what lights us up at each point of our life, so that our gifts continue to grow and evolve and shine. And it's just it's so beautiful.
Whole body, yes. Yes.
So, can you talk a bit about the work that you're currently doing as a self-love coach? What are some common situations, challenges, questions that your clients come to you in seeking your guidance and support?
That's a really good question. A lot of times I find clients are very demanding on themselves and have these expectations and can often feel stuck in that and often feel a very low self-worth. But they truly want to experience self-love. And often many come to me already having been on a journey of self-love. Sometimes not yet, and really needing that support, that guidance, the accountability. And so, what I see a lot is perfectionism, people pleasing, self-sabotage, and women who are very overwhelmed as well, because we carry such an invisible load, a mental and a physical load. And that especially has an impact on how we care for ourselves. So it's really being able to make that intentional shifts in our life. And as I talk about, from carrying it all to consciously creating it all.
And I could so see like just people being drawn to you because they're overwhelmed with the heaviness that life can bring of wanting to do for others and be all of the things to all of the people, and at the detriment to what we truly need for our own selves. And I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about, because you might be listening right now and being like, oh, this sounds beautiful. I'd love to be able to be full of self-love and rainbow and sunshine and all the things. But it's a process, right? And we sometimes need to break it down and start oh so small to see how we can start to cultivate this in our own lives. Do you have any advice or any practices that you would recommend for somebody listening who's maybe new on the journey of self-love and has no idea where to start?
That's a great question. I would start looking at the beliefs that are coming up for you and that self-talk, and just start tracking it in a notebook or a journal. Just write it down, because beliefs are essentially the filter to our experiences, and they are connected to our core wounds. And they are just beliefs. Sometimes true, sometimes not. But we have many imprints from childhood, society, family, friends. And that is what shows up in us every day and can shape and be the filter to how we live life. So I guess I would say just start by tracking your beliefs and that self-talk. It might be negative self-talk, and see what's coming up for you and notice themes.
That's excellent advice because I think self-awareness is something that a lot of people struggle with, and a lot of people don't realize this inner dialogue or narrative that is always in the background. And so being able to kind of take a pause and intentionally look at the beliefs that you have that are like running the show and writing them down. Some there's something about writing things down and seeing it in paper in front of you that makes it
Yes.
more tangible, more real, and more digestible to know as a starting point. It's like when I was hearing you say that, I was like, okay, so that's kind of like collecting some baseline data on yourself and
Yes, from
believe.
your psychologist perspective.
Yeah.
I will say self-awareness is the first step and
Yeah.
a key element. That by having that information, that is how you can start to decide what it is that and who it is you really want to become and embody, and like so you can understand the shifts that you can make. But we need self-awareness first.
Right. Because how do we know the first step to take if we don't know, have a good pulse on where we are? You know, we need to know where we are to figure out how we're going to start and the direction that we're going to go. So that's excellent advice.
Yes. And I will add to that for awareness, in addition, understanding your values, which constantly change and shift, because values are what can determine your priorities and alignment.
Okay, so if you're listening right now, I'm like, okay, values. Yeah, values. That sounds like a great word. How do I do that? How do I go about figuring out what my values are? Like that sounds wonderful, but it might be hard to nail down for some people. Like, how do I do that? 'Cause that's not something that a lot of us take a lot of time to turn inward and try to tease apart. Like, what's important to me? What are actually my values? Do you have any advice on how to start with that?
I do have a tool that I learned in my self-love certification training program. And when it comes to values, we can use track. What do you like to talk about? What do you like to research? What do you appreciate? What do you care most about? And what do you know to be true?
That's beautiful. Can you say that one more time? One more
Yes.
time to let it sink in.
Track.
Okay.
What do you like to talk about? What do you like to research? What do you appreciate? What do you care most about? And what do you know to be true?
That's an excellent starting point because that just really puts it into something so tangible that like, oh, okay, I can reflect on that. What do I find myself talking about most often when I jump on Google or when I look for a book? What sorts of topics are really drawn to me? What lights me up? What do I care about? All of that's really, really helpful advice for knowing where to start. Thank you so much for
Yes,
sharing that.
you're welcome. And this is a tool that, again, I learned through my training program, and it's a little different than just let me list it. It helps bring it into a different perspective, and I would really tap into that feeling of what feels really expansive and true to me.
And I like that what you're alluding to here is not just using this as an exercise of the mind, but also tuning into your body and what resonates, like full body experience, what feels good and in an alignment. Because that's something that I think is so important as well, is to be able to get out of our minds and be able to tune into the energy and wisdom that we have in our bodies as well.
That full triangle of mind, body, spirit is so important. And the body is something that we, especially as coaches, try to ensure we're kind of helping our clients connect to, find safety in, feel those sensations, what's happening, what's processing. It's so important.
And it goes back to just even like for you specifically, your early childhood experiences of feeling like your body was against you. And to now full circle, no, your body is your best friend. It is your home. It is your tool. And there's so much information that it's always communicating with you. And to honor all of that.
It's interesting you bring that up too, because through the recent parts work that I've been doing, I realized going back to that childhood wound, I felt unsafe in my body, but I felt that I was broken. And now I am creating a new narrative of finding wholeness in who I am in my body. And in fact, I even pulled an oracle card today that talked about wholeness and transformation. And so maybe that is a message for the collective here.
I believe that so much in my soul that it is that like there really aren't coincidences, and I don't know, I was just talking with a friend about that the other day. Like things just come up in such a beautiful way with the universe in the exact moment that it's supposed to. And I am certain that whoever is listening right now is hearing the message that they are meant to hear through our collective intentions and what we're putting out into this world.
And I get the chills when you say that. And I am very much very deeply attuned to the synchronicities and the signs. And I believe that as well.
Yeah, and that's such a beautiful thing to help others learn and cultivate in themselves through working with coaching clients. For me, a lot of people that I've spoken with and worked with feel that intuition, inner knowing is a gift that either you have it or you don't have it, and it's for like the select and chosen few. And I have learned, like with a resounding no, that is absolutely not what I have learned to be true, is that we all can cultivate this gift in our intuition and in our inner knowing. And learning to trust it is such a beautiful part for me of self-love and my own healing journey.
Yes, we are all intuitive. We all have access to this.
Yeah. We do. And the more we practice it, the more we tune in. And creativity. And I want to go back to because I know you offer poetic bloom sessions as well. I was hoping you could speak to that. Because using our creative outlets, whatever they are, often are windows into our own personal intuition and our inner wisdom that we all have. Can you share a bit about what these poetic bloom sessions are?
Yes. And I also want to talk about intuition because since I started meditating when I had the miscarriage and building my intuition through self-love, I have gotten it really clear on my direction. And for example, this poetic bloom session was very much a download that came to me,
I love that.
as was my poetry collection. So a couple weeks ago, I had this idea. The poetic bloom sessions are meant to be a very transformative, safe space experience, no writing experience required from anybody. I will be your guide. And through this, through guided conversation, reflective writing prompts, we allow any parts of you, any emotions that want to come through and be processed, just to come up. And some writing will happen, free flow. I will also do a meditation where I connect you to inner child and your self energy. And so, as you know, with sessions, they just kind of flow. And whatever that person is meant to receive, they will receive. And it will be a beautiful experience where I combine both my love of poetry and my self-love coaching in one package. I am offering your viewers free sessions.
Wow, that is so incredibly generous of you. Thank
Yes,
you.
you are welcome. And I think it would be a beautiful taste of what my coaching style is like, and also blending in that creativity, because that is a piece of my 4-month program as well.
Can you talk about your 4-month program?
Yes, my 4-month signature self-love coaching program was born out of many years. And there's some alignment with my poetry book too, and the foundations of self-love. We start at the root. So, talking about a little bit of a misconception here, where there are some that have the idea that self-love is surface level and just self-care, but it's not. Self-love is very deep work. In this module one, we really do the shadow work. And when we talk about our shadows, I want to say this is the protective parts of us that we want to hug. They're part of us and we integrate them. And this is where we do talk more about your beliefs, the conditions, some ancestral, right? What you've carried and not only what you've taken on and that the patterns you want, the patterns you want to break, but the gifts that you want to bring forward. We also dive deep into self-care. I have a big focus here and I created my own self-care framework called the Self-Care Rainbow Path. And so we focus here on ensuring that you are able to tap into self-care for any season of your life, let it evolve with you from the low vibe to the high vibe. And very much focusing on permission and allowance here. We move into connecting with your heart and intuition and spirituality, what it means to you personally, and your dreams, your gifts, your creativity, really reclaiming your authentic self, power, and joy.
That sounds so beautiful and so deeply transformative on a soul level. I love that. And I think that you offering your poetic bloom sessions are a really inspiring and cool way to experience what it's like to be in your energy and work with you and to see your gifts in action. It's like a taste of what they're going to get if they choose to dive into the 4-month coaching program that you offer. So I think that's just such an amazing just idea and packaging of your gifts to be able to share with others.
Thank you. And it feels expansive. There's just something that lights me up and it, you just feel it. I know you feel it too. It just feels expansive. And I am so grateful to have found this to be my mission, my soul work, and just very curious and excited about who's going to step in to work with me and
Exactly the right
meant to
people.
be. Yeah, the right people. It's just meant to be. And what's also amazing that I've learned also through my own one-on-one coaching is creating offers that are unique to our gifts and our experiences, and how what we've been through and what our gifts are, we can then share from a very special perspective.
Yeah, and I love that you said that we create offers that are unique to us, because I think some of us can get caught up in the trying to mimic or copy or emulate what somebody else has done because you see their gifts as going so beautifully for them. So you're like, that is the one way to do this. And that, like, you're gonna get yourself tripped up if that's the mindset that you have. Like, I couldn't agree more with you that you need to really tune into what your own unique gifts, qualities, life experiences that you've had, and use those as your superpower for how you're going to help the world because you alone are able to offer the magic that you have to help people. And so you are going to attract others that are at the same frequency and vibing at the same level that you are that need to work with you and be with you. And that's like, so yes, I love that you are using your own unique childhood experiences, creative talents, passions, desire to use self-love as the path is that is how you are able to share your magic with the world. It's so beautiful.
And I have learned this through my coaches, mentors, expanders. Shout out to all of you. You know who you are. They've helped to teach me this as I work through my own self-doubt and imposter syndrome into one of confidence and truly, truly being connected to my authentic gifts with courage and confidence.
And not being afraid of it, because we all are going to experience the imposter syndrome and the self-doubts and all of that. And the beautiful thing and the key is to keep doing it. Like when you run up against imposter syndrome, some people are scared of that. I actually welcome it because that means I'm growing. That means I'm expanding. That means I'm stepping outside of my comfort zone. And that is where really growth and expansive things can happen. And that I share with my clients as well, is that I want you to feel like you're stepping outside of your comfort zone and a bit of the imposter syndrome, because that's how we grow. That's how we step into who we're meant to be and our truest, most aligned versions of ourselves.
Exactly. Lean in to that discomfort for expansion instead of contract.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. All of that. So if people are hearing this and like, wow, Melissa sounds amazing. I want to work with her. I want to set up a free Poetic Bloom session with her. I can't believe you're offering free sessions. That's so such a generous gift. How can they find you? I mean, obviously I'm going to link everything in the show notes too to make it easy, but if people are wanting to search or Google or whatever, how can we find you?
Yes, well, if you are on Instagram, this is my main community space. You can find me at Radiant Melissa Spratt. My website is melissaforselflove.com. And my email is hello at melissaforselflove.com. I know you will link all of that data. I can be reached via email or a DM on Instagram and or through you. If someone wants to connect that way as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all of that. Now, before we close, I'm just wondering if you have any final message that you are feeling called to share with the listeners today.
My message for you is that self-love is the path, it's the healing balm, it's the solution, and you are not broken, you are whole.
Beautiful. Take that message with you for the rest of the day today. Melissa, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been an honor sharing space with you and getting to learn about your unique gifts and how you are sharing them with the world. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I appreciate you for all you do. And I'm so honored to be here with you and your listeners today.
I absolutely loved that conversation with Melissa Spratt. Her message about self-love and authentic alignment is such a beautiful reminder that you don't have to stay stuck. You can choose to rise, grow, and step into your truth. If this episode lit something up in you, I'd love to help you take the next step. Visit lauraflowersllc.com to learn how we can work together one-on-one through my coaching programs. And if you enjoyed this episode, please like, comment, subscribe to Rediscovering You wherever you listen, because it really helps this show reach more people ready to reconnect with their authentic selves. Until next time, keep rediscovering you.